Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord on tonight. Yes, this is Thursday night, September the 28th, year 2017. You are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and Host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Well, on tonight, we have none other than Pastor Jose Dorsey. He is the pastor of Center of Spirit and Truth Church and located in Redford, Michigan. He's going to be bringing forth the word of God on tonight. I'm asking all the listeners if you would get your Bibles and pens and paper ready so you can follow along with the man of God as he brings forth God's word on tonight. But as we always do, we always start out and we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all the listeners if you would please go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, we come once again to give your name praise. We come to give you glory and honor. We come to say thank you for who and all that you are. We come to say thank you for this another day that you have made. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're not like man. You cannot lie, fail, or change. Heavenly Father, we're just grateful for your mercy and your grace on tonight. We don't deserve it. We're not worthy of either one of them, but we thank you for your grace and your mercy on tonight toward each one of us in spite of ourselves. Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I come asking Heavenly Father first that you would start with me, forgive me of all of my sins and transgressions, and then I also include my entire family and also Pastor Jose Dorsey and his entire family. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, Heavenly Father, so that our prayers and that your word would not be go out void. It will accomplish everything that you set forth to do over the airways on tonight. Heavenly Father, we also lift up all those that may be tuned in on tonight who do not have a personal relationship with your son, Jesus Christ, who are not saved in his name. It's our prayer, it's our heart's desire that something will be said through your word on tonight, that their hearts will be pricked and they will be able to surrender and yield on tonight and ask Jesus Christ as they open their own mouth and ask Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them. And once they are saved, they will come to know their God purpose. And once they know it, they will fulfill in it. They will walk and live in their God purpose in the earth for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus with a special prayer request for all those that have been affected by the different hurricanes and tornadoes and the wildfires and everything that's going on in the world. Heavenly Father, we know that you still sits high and you still looks low. There's nothing that's going on in the earth that you do not know about, that you're not aware of. So we just thank you for who you are. You are in total control no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like or what it sounds like or what we hear. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are in total control at all times. You never slumber nor sleep. You're not like man. Heavenly Father, you say when you're going to do something, you do just exactly what you say you're going to do. So we just thank you again on tonight for who you are. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that your word would be going forth on tonight with power, Heavenly Father, on tonight, that someone would be blessed by this word on tonight. And, oh, God, all of those that are maybe tuned in on tonight that have walked away from you, they're out of fellowship with you, Heavenly Father, is our prayer that on tonight something will be said, that they would surrender and come back to you, and Heavenly Father, and be restored back to you in the right fellowship and relationship with you. And, oh, God, we also pray that something will be said on tonight for those that are saved in Jesus' name all over the world, Heavenly Father, that are being doers of your word without hidden motives or agendas on tonight. Is our prayer that something will be said on tonight through your word, that it will be built up, strengthened, and edified, is our prayer in Jesus' name. So we pray, Lord, that you would just move by your spirit on tonight. Help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us. Continue to bless Pastor Dorsey, his ministry, and the works of his hands and his family. Continue to use him for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God that are in agreement with this prayer said amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, and it goes for me as well as to you, the listener, obey God and leave the consequences to him. Once again, our spiritual food for thought for tonight comes to us saying, obey God and leave the consequences to him. Please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from my listeners. You can email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Well, in the form of announcements, I have two that I'd like to make before I bring Pastor Dorsey on to bring the word. My first announcement, I am so excited and I am so happy for what the Lord is doing in my younger sister's life. My younger sister is Danetta Barney. She's a gospel stage playwright, and God has anointed her and blessed her to write an upcoming gospel stage play. It's titled Opposite Ends of the Bridge, and it will be taking place on Saturday, November the 11th, 2017, at 7 p.m. at Impact Church, which is located here in Detroit, Michigan. The Impact Church is located at 12844 Elmdale Street. That's on the east side of Detroit. So for all of those of you that are listening that are in the Michigan area, Detroit area, Ohio, in the Indiana area, that will be in the Michigan area around that time, we are inviting you to please come be a part of this play. Take note, this Opposite Ends of the Bridge is a gospel stage play that's going to mend marriages and families and ministries, even nations, back together. So I thank God for what he's doing through my younger sister in this upcoming gospel stage play. And some of the cast members are well-known. We have evangelist, musical gospel artist, evangelist Peggy James. She's one of the cast members. Minister Gerard Brooks. He's also a gospel artist. He's also a cast member. And also Pastor Ron Todd, Minister Ron Todd, he's also a gospel artist. Eric Dion. These are some of the main cast members that are in this play. There are other people that are part of this play also. But we want to start getting the word out now so you can start making notes in preparation to take part in this play. Again, Opposite Ends of the Bridge. It's presented by my younger sister, Danetta Barney. Again, it's going to be taking place at Impact Church, located at 12844 Elmdale Street on the east side of Detroit, November the 11th, 2017 at 7 p.m. Also, I am grateful to God for what he's doing in my life and also the people that he has placed up under me, under my direction, that have their own shows, own internet radio shows. And we want to start off with Releasing the Sounds, Prophetess Vidira Hayward is the radio host for that Blog Talk Radio show. Again, it's titled Releasing the Sounds, and she comes on every fourth Saturday night from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Also, we have Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. He comes forth every first and third Thursday from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Also, we have Dr. Patricia Heisman out of Pontiac, Michigan. She will be coming forth with her show very soon. And as soon as she gives me the date and the times of her show, The Healing Word is the title of her show. The Healing Word, Dr. Minister, author Patricia Heisman out of Pontiac, Michigan, will be coming forth with her show. So I want you all to take notes of these different dates and times and the different titles of these shows and the host names so that you can tune in to them and be blessed by God's word as he uses them to deliver his word. So we thank God for the men and women that he are using to deliver his word. So he told us in his word that we are on the highways and compel men, women, boys, and girls to be saved in Jesus' name. So that's what we're doing over this worldwide platform. So it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ and souls being saved. So I'm just grateful to God that he has placed anointed men and women of God up under my direction who are bringing God's word. So again, take these notes down. Releasing the Sounds every fourth Saturday, 6:30 to 7 p.m. And also every first and third Thursday from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. Dorsey, he is my guest on tonight. He will be coming forth shortly, bringing the word on tonight. And then also we have Dr. Patricia Heisman out of Pontiac, Michigan. Minister Patricia Heisman will be coming forth with the healing word. And as soon as she gives me her date and time, I will be announcing those dates and times so you can be sure to tune in and listen to her as well. And continue to be blessed by the word of God. So right now, before we bring Pastor Jose Dorsey to come forth with the word on tonight, we're going to come forth with our music break. And I'm so glad that Jesus thought that our life was worth living, that he took it upon himself to come down from glory in the form of a baby, in the form of flesh, to pay our sin debt with his own blood. I am so grateful that he thought our life was worth living, that he died for us, that we can be redeemed back to our Heavenly Father. So enjoy this musical break, worth living. And following this music break, I'm going to come back and I'm going to yield the mic to Pastor Jose Dorsey to deliver God's word. Enjoy the musical selection. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord on tonight. Aren't you glad that Jesus thought that your life was worth living, that he took it upon himself to come down and pay our sin debt with his own blood? I am so grateful to Jesus Christ for what he has done for me, and not only me, but for all doers of his word. And right now, before I bring Pastor Jose Dorsey to bring God's word, I failed to mention, I'm asking for all listeners, if you would please lift up Brother Jeremy Harris, keep that name in your minds when you pray. Please keep Brother Jeremy Harris in your prayers. He had a devastating family. He was a military man, but one of his sisters ended up killing her boyfriend, and then she turned around and committed suicide on last week. And now he has to raise her children, him and his mother has to raise her children. So they are in desperate need of our prayers that God will continue to comfort them and give them the strength that they need to raise those children in the way that God would have them to be raised, that God will be glorified through it all. So I'm asking, as your radio host and director on tonight, if you would please lift up Brother Jeremy Harris in your prayers when you pray on this evening, that God will comfort and strengthen him and his mother and that entire family, that God will get the glory through it all. So right now, I am giving the mic to Pastor Jose Dorsey. He is coming forth to bring God's word. Pastor Jose Dorsey, I am turning and yielding the mic over to you to deliver God's word on tonight.
Well, amen. Thank you. First of all, before I go a step further, I just would like to thank you, Brother James Brown Jr., our executive producer. You've allowed us an opportunity to be here to share in this way. We appreciate every platform, every opportunity that you provided for us. Also, a shameless plug for Theologically Speaking with myself as the host. It's been nothing short of an honor to have had the opportunity to share in that way. It's been a dream to be able to actually come and allow God to use us in this capacity and through you. So thank you for all of your obedience. Thank you for what you're doing in the kingdom. And I believe strongly that we'll be able to affect different lives by allowing the word to be spread out. This is not just in our local community or regional or national. This is a worldwide platform. So can't thank you enough for that. Also, I really just bless the Lord for allowing us to have the opportunity to come together. I don't believe that God does anything by accident whatsoever. And so I believe that it was ordained for us to have come together, and the fruits of such is very evident. And so even going a little bit further, as we're talking about fruits, it's on my heart really to draw from this passage of Scripture dealing with Matthew 7 and 15. Our overarching thought today, what we're going to really be dealing with, is this third wave movement. Is it just charismatic, or is it a compromised gospel? And essentially, I spoke about this on my show, but I was invited to carry it over. I'm so blessed. I want to actually just warn you out there, all the listeners, that this is going to be kind of truncated, because I really want to give you the essence of what we covered over three different parts. So we're going to break it down. I'm not going to be as technical, but at the same time, I'm going to lay it out there plain enough that we can receive it, and it'll be food for us to understand exactly where we're going with this message tonight. We did talk about it being more of a message. Well, I hope I'm not going to disappoint anybody, but it will be more of a hybrid kind of exposition tonight. It will be just as much a talk as it is a sermon. Every time I say I'm going to talk, for some reason I end up in a sermon. Every time I say I'm going to do a sermon, for some reason I end up in a talk. So I just pray that God be glorified somewhere in between. We'll get the message across. I dare not go further with just a really brief prayer. You know, I'm a pastor. I have to do this. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, help me to take the words, take the message that's in my heart, and lay it out for your people. God, make it be plain. Let it prick them. Let them see it. Help them to move with a spiritual response. We trust you, and we believe you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So looking over at Matthew 7 and 15, beginning right there, just want to read a few verses, and I want this to be stuck in your mind. The Bible says, "Beware of false prophets." I'm reading from the ESV version. You have a different version, follow along. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Watch this. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. The reason why we're talking about you recognize them by their fruits, because I have to prick the body of Christ today, the believers, to actually move beyond some of the things that we might have believed, probably move beyond some of the things that we might have been exposed to, some of those things that we grew up being influenced by, in order to look at what is our spiritual environment, to understand what are we being taught, what is the indoctrination, what are we receiving into our lives, in our churches, in our spiritual environments. This is very necessary because we have to be careful that we're actually governing ourselves according to the Word of God and not governing ourselves according to what people would have us to believe. And what we will actually find out is many times what some of these things that people would have us to believe is based on the root of all evil. You know it, is money. So when we actually boil things down, what does the Bible say? What do we truly believe? Let us compare throughout Scripture over in the book of Isaiah, I believe it is. Though God says, he said, let us reason. One of the very few times that God actually calls upon us to reason with him. Let us reason. Different times in the Bible, God says also, prove me now, herewith, said the Lord of hosts. Test me. God wants you to be able to come forward with his word. Try it. Test it. See if it's not true. See if his word does not come back to him null and void, like the Bible says it cannot do. So now let's put in perspective what we're talking about here, this third wave movement. Many of us haven't even heard of the third wave movement. Why? It's because when you go to church, they don't say that this is a charismatic movement thing that we're doing, or this is Pentecostalism that we're doing. They won't say that. Or this whole program that we set up today is all about the third wave movement. Many of us before today might not even heard this term actually thrown at us altogether. Third wave movement. Well, what is the third wave movement? The third wave movement is a series of is a couple of other movements fused together. One was the Pentecostal movement. Now, we know about the Pentecostals and Pentecostalism. We know how they believe and how a lot of the acts or a lot of the things that they actually bear on in the Bible goes all the way back to the day of Pentecost. And so for them, they look at different things about the Holy Spirit. And although we may believe, depending on how you're actually indoctrinated in the Word, we might believe that the Pentecostals have certain things missing from their doctrine. I'm not here to slander churches. I'm here to just lay out what belief systems are and actually talk about the movement. So let me just precursor to say that if you're offended, I greatly apologize. If you find anywhere in the Bible to dispute what I'm saying, let's have a dialogue about it. But for now, let us defer to allowing ourselves to be governed by the Word of God. Then we go into the charismatic movement. Now, the charismatic movement and the Pentecostal movement are very similar to each other. I'm not going to go into all of the differences between them, except for to say they're very similar. They're very similar in how they actually affect, they focus on speaking in tongues, they focus on healing and blessing ceremonies or healing and blessings and all of these big miraculous movements that we're looking for. Not saying that that's a bad thing and that God does not perform miracles, not saying that God does not bless us and authorize us to speak in tongues, but there's a specific protocol for how it's done. And despite the fact that the Bible is going to lay out specifically for us how it's done, many of us will fall into this third wave movement-minded teaching of our theology and we'll get swept away. Well, I don't really have much time, so let me just jump right into it. One of the first things that that the third wave movement is really big on is speaking in tongues. Now, if you at a speaking in tongues church, I want you to listen very carefully. I'm not saying that the devil is in your church and everything is all wrong in your church and everybody is going to hell in your church or this is a bad place to be. What I'm trying to get you to see is that we need to understand what the Word of God says while we're in our church. They say Christians shouldn't ask questions. Well, that's a lie from the gates of hell. Christians should always ask questions. Why do we do what we do? Why are we speaking in tongues? Why are we saying the same things over and over again? What about healing and blessings? How does that attach to my faith? Do you mean to tell me that if I don't, if I'm not healed, if I don't experience some type of change from my illness or my sickness, does that mean that there's something wrong with my faith? Well, let's first begin with talking about speaking in tongues really quick. When you go into the book of 1 Corinthians, you go down to the 14th chapter, one of the first things that the Apostle Paul began to deal with, he's talking about speaking in tongues, the gift of tongues, and he even put it into perspective as to where these gifts of tongues, how it fit into parameter with other gifts. Now, what's really interesting about this, third wave movement churches generally will focus on the gift of tongues. Unfortunately, we have some churches that are so out of sync with the Bible that we have what's called a tarrying room. Now, am I saying a tarrying room is a bad idea? No, because actually tarrying is a biblical concept that signifies that we're waiting for Jesus to come and show up and actually do something. We're waiting on Jesus to come and give him the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts 1:8 says, and you shall receive power, this is Jesus speaking, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So where they were waiting for that to happen was that in a tarrying room. So what we do is when we have someone in some of these churches that is awaiting baptism or have been baptized or about to be baptized, depending on what church and what they believe, they take candidates to the tarrying room. Now, in a tarrying room, it's not that someone miraculously begin to speak in tongues. This is the disgusting part here. Now, I'm not trying to shun anybody, but I'm just trying to say that one is if the Spirit gives you utterance, then the Spirit is giving you utterance. But if man has stimulated you, then that's not the Spirit giving you utterance. And see, what happens is in our tarrying rooms in the churches, they're saying just say hallelujah over and over and over and over and over again. And then once you get tongues, why, I can say, hey, you just spoke in tongues. She's saved. The problem is, my brothers and sisters, that we've allowed third wave movement minded people to tell us that speaking in tongues is an evidence, is the evidence of being saved. The problem is you won't find that anywhere. Hear me. You won't find that anywhere in the Bible. As a young man, I went to a church and the pastor, the female pastor, she was speaking in tongues. She was singing in tongues. And she knew that I was a young man in the ministry. She didn't know how astute in the word I was, but she said, Reverend, do you speak in tongues? I respond to her. I said, no, ma'am, that's not my gift. She said, well, when you get saved, you will. What an insult. What are we doing to the people of God? What are we doing to someone that have just crossed over into believing? That somebody that actually is filled with the conviction that Jesus lived, died, and rose, that's exactly what we need them to be. And then they come into our church, and we tell them, y'all ain't even saved. You don't talk like I talk. You don't do what I do, so you're not saved. And meanwhile, we're teaching this faulty doctrine because nowhere in the Bible will it actually say that if you don't speak in tongues that you're not saved. But that's what we've been telling people. That's the reason why we take them to the tarrying room. And what we'll find is really it's all about us anyway. See, we want you to speak in tongues because we want you to essentially look like this ministry is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is moving over here. It's not over there. And if you come over here, then miraculous things is happening to you like you speaking in tongues. Can I ask some of these people that speak in tongues a question? When I hear people speaking in tongues at different churches, the only thing I hear is the same catchphrases. You mean to tell me that that is all the Holy Spirit has to say? Let us put the day of Pentecost into perspective and understand exactly what it was. I'm not here to attack your church. I just want us to be well-educated, well-informed, so that when we're out, that we understand exactly what the Word is saying. The Word is not telling us to shun people or kick people out or make people feel that they're not saved. That's not what the Word of God is telling us. And so when you're in the church, understand that Pentecost happened when it did happen, these were not unknown tongues. My Pentecostal friends, people of God, please listen and understand that this is known tongues. These are different people that have assembled in this place. They're looking for something miraculous to happen, and suddenly all of these different people that spoke different languages can all speak, and everyone understood each other. Understand that no one could have done that but the Holy Spirit. But so we over-sensationalize this gift because we say, well, if you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit come upon you, and the Holy Spirit come upon you, that's the evidence of being saved. My friends, that is an evidence. It's not the evidence. The evidence of someone being saved is watch that life just transform. Watch how somebody say, it's in him I live, it's in him I move, and it's in him that I have my very being. Watch how they begin to allow themselves to decrease and allow his principles to increase. Watch how they begin to say, it's not all about me, it's not all about the world, it's not about the influences around me, but I'm going to govern myself according to his will and his word. Then you will see evidences. You look in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, Paul is even telling you that that's not even the greatest gift to desire. Speaking in tongues, we sensationalize that, but how many of us talk about prophesying? Now I know we got prophets out there and people proclaiming to be able to prophesy. I got to deal with that for a minute. But prophecy is the better gift to see than actually speaking in tongues. Why? Because prophecy, it actually edifies the body. It actually builds up. Paul said that should be our ultimate goal of building up. Now, unless Paul was lying, and I don't believe under the unction of the Holy Spirit he was, why would he tell us not to speaking in tongues if speaking in tongues is the evidence of being saved? We've been had, we've been took, we've been hoodwinked. If we're in our churches and we're thinking that because speaking in tongues is the way to be saved, and we're actually muttering these different utterances many of them are unintelligible. Many of us know deep down in our hearts that the Holy Spirit has not given us this utterance. Many of us don't even understand what we're saying, and we're not even doing it in context with the Bible. The Bible says that two, not more than three, should be actually speaking. And the Bible also says, chapter 14, that we are supposed to have an interpreter. Family, friends, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I have never been to a church to this day. I am 42 years old. I've been going back and forth from church since I was 8 years old. I've never been in a church. I'm sorry, I take that back. I've been in one church. I've only been in one church where I ever heard someone speak in his tongues and heard someone else interpreting it. We ought to slap ourselves and wake up from this kind of influence that this third wave mentality have on us. We're doing this because we want to make ourselves seem like something that we're not. Oh, how it was the apostles would go around and share the word, and they would lay on their hands, and people would fall. They would catch the Holy Spirit. And speaking of catching the Holy Spirit, that's just a phraseology that we need to actually understand and put into proper perspective, because there are some churches that, part of the third wave movement mentality, we're laying hands on people and people are falling out, and they say, oh, they caught the Holy Spirit. How do you catch, brothers and sisters, how do you catch the Holy Spirit? Please tell me. How do you catch God? I know I heard the song, I'm chasing after you no matter what I have to do because I need you more and more, amen. I heard the song, but how do you chase after God other than in your principles? How do you actually go and catch him? What are you going to catch him with? What is your apparatus? How do you begin to build that thing? What are you going to do when you actually come face to face? How do you catch somebody that's all powerful and almighty, all knowing everywhere at the same time? How can you catch God? Slap yourself. Many times, it's not that we're catching the Holy Spirit. We're putting on productions and theatrics, and make no mistake about it. How you catch the Holy Spirit, can you be filled with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us from the very time that we begin to believe and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that you shall be saved. Well, we also understand upon us being saved that the Holy Spirit indwells inside of us. So, my brothers and sisters, it's not that you catch him. You cannot catch him, but he has to catch you and fill you up. It's not that you're going to catch him. Understand that it's never that we chose God in the first place. Jesus made it very clear that it's not that you have chose me. Understand that I have chose you. So let's talk about the laying on of hands. Many times within our churches, we produce, we have these theatrics and these productions, and we lay hands and see. Brothers and sisters, if you're so anointed that you lay hands on someone and they fall back and they instantly in the spirit with amen to your anointing, but the reality is, what I have seen in many churches is theatrics, my brothers and sisters. I was at a church, the prophetess, she was speaking, and she came over and she wanted to prophesy to me. And it's ironic how much we prophesy houses and cars and businesses and cash. And we prophesy good fortune and good fame when, if you really look at the prophet, you see them prophesying all these good things to somebody, saying things that really can't be verified one way or the other, usually. Not completely. We can guess at some things, but truthfully, I mean, we can articulate how some things could be. But if you actually do your homework and look at a true prophet or look at a true prophetess in the Bible, what you'll find is they're so sure about what they're saying that they'll even put their reputation on the line. You'll find that many prophets said that, I am not a man of God today if this and this does not happen to you, and it happens exactly according to his word. There's no guessing. There's no generalizing. There's no taking some things and kind of drawing a picture around it to making it seem like something. No, it's very specific. It's very, very specific. Why? It's because they're not speaking on their own authority. They are speaking on the authority of God. I don't have to say, John, is there John here? No, I can go over to John with the anointing of God and begin to speak what thus said the Lord into John's life. So we play these games. We play these games. It's simple games of human behavior. The human behaviorist, some of them. Now, I'm not saying everybody that's a prophet is wrong or false or phony, but I want us as people of God to be able to discern what it is that we see and not get swept away, because all of this is part of that third wave movement mentality. So I'm at this church. This woman comes over. She wants to prophesy to me, and two men walk up from behind. Now, I automatically know what's going to happen. She expects to lay her hands on top of my head, and I'm going to fall back and start convulsing in the spirit and jumping and shaking and moving around. Essentially what she does is she's speaking to me, and at some point she catches me off guard, put her hand over my eyes and my face, and push my head back so that I fall. Everybody started clapping. It's a big production. It's the theatrics. My brothers and sisters, we're actually doing these productions and theatrics. We're not bringing people into the church like that. You should hear what people are saying on the outside, the unbelievers. You should hear what some people that are barely sitting on the cusp of just making their conversion. You should hear what they say and how they're feeling when they leave the church, when they actually boil down to what they truly think and what they truly feel. They feel like there's something wrong. They feel like there's something disconnected. So they might get a good feeling with the song. They might get a good feeling thinking that, oh, he prophesied businesses and cars and houses. But what happened when these things don't show up in their lives? What happens when God is truly not prophesying a house or a car into your life? We say money is the root of all evil. Well, what is material things? What about when the Bible is telling us not to lay up treasures? What about when the Bible is telling us not to put our hope and cares into material things, but to put our hope and our trust in God? What do we do when our lives are so far out of order, but yet we have smuck and telly prophet or prophetess or master prophet or whoever they call themselves standing in front of us saying that we're going to be rich, We're going to get this big business venture. We're going to get this brand new car. We're going to get all of this money. Our enemies are going to be our footstools. And all of these wonderful things are going to happen. But what happens when they don't? Is God going to allow you to be blessed in the middle of your mess? Or are he going to come to you or send somebody to you like he sent the prophets of old to tell you, you need to get your house in order. Your stuff is tore up from the flow up, and you need to fix some stuff. And as a matter of fact, if you don't fix it, this is going to happen to you. What happened to those prophets? Because those are, that's truthfully what prophesying was really all about. Prophesying is not about making you feel good all the time just so I can get you to give me a nice offering or meet me over here. You're going to meet me at 7 o'clock over here. I'm going to be in Dallas. Now, I want you to give your offering. I want you to send it to this email. And if you got $100 or if you can get $500 into the ministry, we're going to send you a prayer cloth. My brothers and sisters, this is third wave mentality. Where did prayer cloths come from? Where did this anointing oil that they sell you, where is it coming from? Jesus was in the church and he whipped the changers. He whipped them because he said, you would not make my father's house a den of thieves. And so we're tricking people into coming into the household of faith for antics, theatrics. We're tricking them to come and spend their money on prayer oil that they think is going to change your life because I am the master prophet that said it's going to happen. Or they put their faith in a prayer cloth. This is idolatry at best, my friends. Third wave movement is dangerous because you'll find that there's a couple things at the end of the bunny hole. There's usually money. And there's usually a person. And usually the person is there to get you to put your faith in them so that they can get your money. Now, let me make something plain. When you go into the Bible, you look at the term bishop. And I'm not here to attack everybody's bishop. Calm down. But if the shoe fits, I'm sorry, but bishop have to wear it. Bishop got to wear that shoe. All right? If it fits. If it doesn't fit, then we apply the theology and we move forward together knowing better and doing better. Amen? But many bishops walk around. What we understand a bishop to be, a bishop is supposed to be someone that oversees multiple churches. Slap yourself. Slap yourself. That's not in the Bible anywhere. The word pastor and bishop are actually synonymous. Go do a study of it. Find it out for yourself. Pastor and bishop are synonymous with each other. That means that they're one and the same. Just as much as I'm a pastor, I can actually be called interchangeably bishop. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, even though I don't oversee multiple churches. Now, somebody is throwing a fit at their computer or throwing a fit at their phone right now listening to me because that's not how they've been brought up. That's not what they believe within their system. But if you go and actually do a study and understand what the Word of God is saying about the pastor and about the bishop, you'll find that these things are true. But somewhere within the hierarchy of belief system, within these different churches that have been affected by third wave movement, we find ourselves esteeming the bishop in a hierarchy that's above a pastor. It's not biblical, but that's something that we begin to do because we need to see things in echelons. We need to see things in hierarchies. We need to see somebody lifted up above. And so now if I see this great bishop and I begin to trust and believe in a bishop, then what the bishop says essentially goes. And this is the reason why we have, well, slap yourself and catch yourself if you find yourself doing this. Well, bishop says this. Bishop says that. Bishop says we got to do this. Yeah, it's nice that bishop says that. It's nice that bishop says this. But the reality is bishop shouldn't say anything that the Bible don't say. I wish I was preaching to somebody today. I know what bishop says, but what did Jesus say? I know what bishop says, but what does the Bible say? I know what bishop wants you to do, but what does God say is the right thing for you to do? Because as man, we have a tendency to tell people what they should and should not do, and we're so opinionated. You can never be fat enough or skinny enough. You can never be right enough. You can never speak enough, or you might speak too much, or you never write for man, but God. but God. God says he loved you so much that he thought you went to die for. So he left his principles not just for himself. Oh, God's going to be God whether or not you obey him or not, but he left them for us so that we might conform to more of his image, so that we might actually conform to his word, so we would be acceptable unto him, reconciled unto him, and saved. I'm taking too long. Let me actually move beyond that. Let's start to talk about these healing and blessings. It's amazing how people can just suddenly turn it on and turn it off. Healing and blessings, meet me over here. That's all about a person. It's all about a person. I'm not saying that God won't heal you. I'm not saying that Jesus cannot allow you, because God can do anything. God is all-powerful and almighty. He can do anything that he want to do. But understand how the Holy Spirit moves. Understand how Jesus moves, how the Father moves. Understand that everybody might not recover from an illness or a sickness. Third wave holiness people will have you believe that if you don't recover, that there's something wrong with your faith. Well, something is wrong with their ideology. They believe that if you're poor, then there's something wrong with your faith. Something is wrong with this ideology. When you're actually sitting up under the teachings of these different people, you need to be able to discern, how does this word line up with the Bible? You shall know them by their fruits. I'm back in Matthew now. You shall know them by their fruits. What is their fruits? The fruits that they should be giving you is the principles. Flip back over into the book of Genesis really quick. People say they don't know what fruit was on the tree. Some speculate whether it was an apple. I'll tell you what fruit was on that tree. The Bible says what fruit was on that tree. If you got an apple, then it came from an apple tree. If you got an orange, it came from an orange tree. If you got a pear, it came from a pear tree. The Bible says that the knowledge of good and evil was that what kind of tree it was. That's what they took from the tree. It was a supernatural tree containing knowledge of good and evil. So why am I talking about this? Because the type of tree, the type of fruit that these people bear will actually be what they are. If they're not teaching what thus said the Lord, this is a worldly tree. If they're not teaching you to conform to his word, if they're not teaching you the principles of God, how to be reconciled, how to be saved, how to conduct yourself according to his word, how to live your life as a Christian, wholly acceptable unto them, if they're giving you personal philosophies and they're giving you their own perspectives in life, then they are not a fruit that is bearing from a tree that God has essentially placed in your life. I admonish us to get to a place where we can look at exactly what we're being taught, how people are actually moving in ministry, to understand whether or not we're in a third wave movement style church. You will know them by their fruits. Are you in a church that is that is a third wave church? Is it in a third wave movement? It's not going to say this third wave. But are they teaching a charismatic? I understand that charisma is not a bad thing. It actually means a gift. It means grace or a gift. Charisma, the root word charisma. But if they're charismatic, then understand that they're lulling you, and they're motivating you and actually allowing you to be caressing, what's the word I'm looking for? Help me, Lord. Thank you. They're actually allowing you to be lulled into something other than the word of God. They bring us another doctrine if they don't bring us the word of God. Ask yourself, is this a third wave movement church? Is this a charismatic or compromised gospel that I'm listening to? My brothers and sisters, be wise. If you have any questions and you would like to have further dialogue, please feel free to reach out to me. My name is Jose Dorsey. I don't ask nobody to call me pastor or bishop or any of that. However, I am the pastor over at Center of Spirit and Truth over at 11663 Arcola in Livonia, Michigan. You can feel free to have a dialogue with me at 313-221-7600. It's been my profound pleasure to have the opportunity to actually break unto us the bread of life in this talk / sermonic message dealing with the third wave movement.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on tonight. I know I have been truly blessed by this word on tonight. Brother Jose Dorsey. I know that a lot of people, I'm sure that some people have been offended by what you just said, but you really taught the word on tonight, and that's what's lacking in some of these churches now. That's why the world has more or less taken over the church. Instead of the church being an influence on the world has become an influence on the church, and we have so much stuff going on in the church that God is not pleased with. So we thank God for you on tonight. You continue to stand in holy boldness. You continue to preach and teach what God puts on your heart to say, because he have your back. And he said, vengeance is mine. And he said, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. So when you know that you are doing God's work and you are fulfilling your God purpose, it don't matter what people say or what they think or how they feel. As long as you know you are fulfilling your God purpose, you are in the will of God, and you are preaching and teaching God's word without hidden motives or agendas, then God is pleased with you. So that's what you have done tonight. You have pleased the Lord on tonight. God has been glorified on tonight. And as I told you before, the enemy has shown up, been horrified on tonight after hearing that message. So I know that someone has been blessed by this word on tonight. I am one of those that have been enlightened by this third wave movement message, because I had no idea of what it all entailed until you brought it forth, until you brought it up. And I'm sure that I am not the only one. A lot of people now can really see the difference about what the third wave movement means and what it's really all about. And so when we come out of the will of God and start doing our own thing, God is not a part of that. So God does everything decently and in order, and that's exactly what he expects us to do as Christians. If we say we are Christians and we want to be Christ-like, we have to be more examples of what Jesus was about, and that's love and showing compassion without hidden motives or agendas. So I thank you, Pastor Jose Dorsey, for this powerful word on tonight. We need more teaching and preaching like this, and that's what some pastors are afraid of, and some bishops, and even some prophets or prophetesses. They are scared. They are so afraid of what people are going to say or what they're going to think if they talk and preach just like you did on tonight. But God is glorified on this on tonight through you. And I thank God for you. And I am so pleased to have you under my direction with your own show. And again, for the listeners that did not catch this announcement, the man of God who brought the word on tonight regarding the third wave movement, Pastor Jose Dorsey, he's had his show every first and every third Thursday night from 6:30 to 7 p.m. And his show title is Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. So you'd most definitely want to tune in and listen to the different topics that the Lord has placed on his heart that he discusses in holy boldness. And that's what we need, more pastors and more preachers and teachers that stand up in holy boldness, that are not afraid to say what God says, what thus said the Lord. So we thank God for you, Pastor Dorsey. And I'm praying that God will continue to elevate you, continue to bless you, your ministry, your family, and the works of your hands, because the best for you is still yet to come. So, Pastor Dorsey, right at this time, before we go off the air, is there any one that you'd like to give a shout-out to, or any other information that you want to pass on to the listeners, how they can reach you?
Yeah, sure. I've come from Center of Spirit and Truth. We're located in Livonia, right off of Plymouth and Inkster. Please, if you're looking for somewhere to worship, we're a very down-to-earth church home. If you're looking for somewhere to just, you know, receive some love, we're a family. We're more than a congregation. We're a family, and we'd be delighted to have you. We'd like to send a shout-out to the Center of Spirit and Truth family, who have been faithfully listening and following in all that we have been doing. And that includes my immediate family and my household, as well as our extended family in the church. And we just absolutely love you, James Brown, for all the things that you've done, and the spirit that you do it in is so unselfish, it's so selfless, and it's not like that. I've ever seen where there was a motive behind it, where you were looking for some type of monetary adjustment in any type of way, but it's about kingdom building. And you actually taught me some things along the way, so I'd like to say thank you. Thank the listeners out there, because James Brown has told me that, you know, our listeners have been diligent and they've been growing. The crowd has been growing. People have been listening in. So I just would like to thank all of you for that. And we're so blessed. And I look forward to our exchange. And James, a shameless plug, I look forward to being back on your show sometime again, too.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know what? We're going to make that happen real soon. I thank God for you, Pastor Dorsey. I think I have never met you yet. I have never met your church family, but the Lord be willing, that's going to happen real soon. I'm looking forward to meeting you and your church family and coming to the church and worshiping with you all. And the Lord allow me to get on the organ or keyboard and play some songs. So that's a part of my ministry as well. I love playing and I love singing for the Lord. I just love whatever the Lord allows me to do for His glory through me. And I thank God for this worldwide platform. And just like you said, and I'm not bragging or boasting, but I thank God because He opened this door for me. I did not do this. I would never, in a million years, would I have ever thought that I would become a published author of 5 books, and then have my own internet radio show. But that's what God can do. When you're faithful to God without hidden motives and agendas, these are some of the promises that He will give to His people. So He is a man of His word. God is faithful. He still watches over His word to perform it in the lives of His saints, even today. So I thank God for you, Pastor Dorsey. You continue to stand on the wall, and you continue to preach and teach the word just the way God gave it to you. No matter how people frowns up and look at you weird, and I think there's a passage in the Bible that says, you know, don't worry about the looks on their faces, because I'm sure that the disciples, as they were teaching and preaching, even back in the Old Testament days, even when some of the things that Jesus was saying, I'm sure a lot of people didn't want to hear what He had to say. But just like they did them, the Bible tells us, just like they treated us and we were trying to be about God's business and kingdom building, they're going to do you the same way. And so we are not exempt. We are trying to be doers of God's word. We should expect to be criticized. We should expect to be lied on or persecuted. And so these are some of the things that come along with being a Christian. So the thing is, we must continue to hold on to God's unchanging hands, keep the faith, knowing God said that in His word that vengeance is mine, because when He gives a word to speak into someone's life or a message to deliver, I don't care if they receive it or not, you do what God called you to do, and you get blessed by doing and being obedient to what God has called you to do. So I thank God for you, Pastor Dorsey. And again, you will definitely be back on again to deliver another word on this show. And I, again, ask all listeners, if you would please tune in every first and third Thursday night between 6:30 and 7 p.m. to Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey, our man of the hour that brought the word of God on tonight. He's a powerful, anointed young man of God, and I am so pleased that God has placed him and his ministry and family in my life. What a blessing you all are to me. So right now, as we get ready to close out tonight's program, I thank God for the listeners. As Pastor Dorsey has said, I do not take a light little for granted that you all tunes in faithfully every Thursday and Saturday to this broadcast. You could be doing other things, but God has you all tuning in because He has a word for some of you all that are listening. And I thank God for His word that lets us know it. And I'm going to say this real quick before we go off the air. A lot of people are still confused. God is not everyone's father. God is everyone's creator. God becomes your father once you accept His son, Jesus Christ, as your personal Lord and Savior. God only hears a sinner's prayer when a sinner prays to God and asking God to be saved in Jesus' name. Then once you are saved in Jesus' name, then God becomes your father. So some people still have it twisted. Yes, they're even still preaching in some of these churches that God is everyone's father. No, that is not true. That's a lie from hell. God is not everyone's father. God becomes your father when you accept His son, Jesus Christ, as your personal Lord and Savior. So I just thought I would put that out there, and someone could be blessed and healed and delivered by that word. Someone needs to know that you're not saved. If you're not saved in Jesus' name, then God is not your father. He is your creator. God wants you to be saved. That is His desire. It is not His desire that any souls be lost. So that's my prayer, and I know that's the prayer and desire of Pastor Dorsey and all others that come forth on this platform to preach and teach God's word, is not our desire that any souls be lost. So that's what it's all about. That's what this platform is all about, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, compelling men, women, boys, and girls to be saved in Jesus' name, because we are truly living in the last days, and Jesus Christ is soon to come again. So right now, as we give it to close out tonight's program, know that God loves you, and I do too. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give your name praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy towards each one of us. We don't deserve it. We're not worthy of them, but we thank you that you are who you are. You're not like man. You change is not. You cannot fail, lie, or change. So we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word is true. Your faithful God, you still watches over your word to perform it in the lives of your saints. Heavenly Father, we lift up Pastor Dorsey to you. Continue to bless him. Continue to strengthen him. Continue to use him for your glory. Continue to bless his ministry, his family, and the works of his hand. Oh, God, we just lift up our brother Jeremy Harris right now in the name of Jesus. We want to continue to cover him in the blood of Jesus, his mother and his family, and the loss of his sister. She killed her boyfriend and then turned around and committed suicide. Now they have to raise her children. So we know that you are able to give them the strength and the faith that they need to stand and hold on to your unchanging and unfailing hands. So we are thanking you in advance for what you're going to do in their life, that they will give you the glory in advance in Jesus' name. So we just give your name the praise. We give you the glory because of who you are, Heavenly Father. You are worthy to be praised. And all of the people of God that touch and agree with this prayer said amen. Well, again, know that I love you. God loves you even more. Well, until the next time, we must remember that we are to, as the word of God tells us, we are our brother's keepers, and we are to be praying one for another. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord.
Come on, KD.
An old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir.